Sodor Stories presents The Eight Famous Engines, based on the Railway Series by Reverend W. Audrey, and read by Toby Yelland. Sometimes Percy takes stone trucks from the other end of the line. There, he meets engines from the mainland. One day, Henry wanted a rest in the shed, but Percy was talking to some tank engines. "It was raining hard. Water swirled under my boiler. I couldn't see where I was going, but I struggled on." "Oh, Percy, you are brave." "Well," said Percy modestly, "it wasn't anything really. Water's nothing to an engine with determination." "Tell us more, Percy," said the engines. "What are you engines doing here?" hissed Henry.
"This shed is for the fat controller's engines. Go away."
"Silly things," Henry snorted.
"They're not silly." "They are silly, and so are you. Water's nothing to an engine with determination. Pah!"
"Anyway," said Percy cheekily, "I'm not afraid of water. I like it." He ran away singing, "Once an engine attached to a train was afraid of a few drops of rain." Percy puffed away as Henry felt embarrassed. Thomas was looking at the board on the quay. It said, "Danger." "We mustn't go past it," he said.
"That's orders."
"Why?"
"Danger means falling down," said Thomas.
"I went past danger once and fell down a mine."
Percy looked beyond the board.
"I can't see a mine," he said.
He didn't know the foundations of the quay had sunk, and the rails now slipped downwards into the sea.
"Stupid board," said Percy.
For days and days, he tried to slide past it, but his driver stopped him every time.
"No, you don't," he would say.
Then Percy made a plan. One day at the top station, he whispered to the trucks,
"Will you give me a bump when I get to the quay?"
The trucks were surprised. They had never been asked to bump an engine before. They giggled and chatted about it the whole way down.
"Whoa, Percy, whoa," said his driver.
And Percy checked obediently at the distance sign.
"Driver doesn't know my plan," he chuckled.
"On, on, on," laughed the trucks.
Percy thought they were helping. "I'll pretend to stop at the station, but the trucks will push me past the board. Then I'll make them stop. I can do that whenever I like." If Percy hadn't been so conceited, he would never have been so silly. Every wise engine knows that you can't trust trucks. They reached the station, and Percy's brakes groaned. That was the signal for the trucks.
"Go on, go on," they yelled,
and surged forward together. They gave Percy a fearful bump and knocked his driver and fireman off the footplate.
"Ow!" said Percy.
Sliding past the board, the day was misty, the rails were slippery. His wheels wouldn't grip. Percy was frantic.
"That's enough," he hissed.
But it was too late. Once on the slope, he tobogganed helplessly down, crashed through the buffers, and slithered into the sea.
"You're a very disobedient engine,"
Percy knew that voice. The foreman borrowed a small boat and rowed the fat controller around.
"Please, sir, get me out, sir. I'm truly sorry, sir."
"No, Percy, we cannot do that until high tide. I hope this will teach you to obey orders."
Yes, sir.
Percy shivered miserably. He was cold. Fish played hide and seek through his wheels.
The tide rose higher and higher. He was feeling his position more and more deeper every minute. It was nearly dark when they bought floating cranes. They cleared away the trucks and lifted Percy out. He was too cold and stiff to move by himself. So he was sent to work the next day on Henry's goods train. Well, 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 chuckled Henry. Did you like the water? No. I'm surprised. You need more determination, Percy. Water's nothing to an engine with determination, you know. Perhaps you would like it better next time. But Percy was quite determined that there wouldn't be a next time. Lots of people travelled to the big station at the end of the line. Engines from the mainland sometimes pulled their trains. These engines stay the night and go home the next day. Gordon was talking one day to one of them.
When I was young, he said, I remember going to London. Do you know the place? The station's called King's Cross.
King's Cross, snorted the engine. London is Euston. Everyone knows that.
Rubbish, said Duck.
London's Paddington. I know. I worked there.
They argued till they went to sleep. They argued when they woke up. They were still arguing when the other engine went away.
Stupid thing, said Gordon crossly. I've no patience.
Stupid yourself, said Duck.
London's Paddington. Paddington, do you hear?
Stop arguing, James broke in. You make me tired. You both agreed about something anyway.
What's that?
London's not Euston, laughed James. Now shut up.
Gordon rolled away, still grumbling.
I'm sure it's King's Cross. I'll go and prove it.
But that was easier said than done. London lay beyond the big station at the end of the line. Gordon had to stop there. Another engine then took his train.
If I didn't stop, he thought, I could go to London.
One day, he ran right through the station. Another time, he tried to start before the fireman could uncouple his coaches. He tried all sorts of tricks, but it was no good. His driver checked him every time.
Oh dear, he thought sadly. I'll never get there.
One day, he pulled the express to the station as usual. His fireman uncoupled the coaches and ran on to his siding, waiting till it was time to go home. The coaches waited and waited at the platform, but their engine didn't come. A porter ran over to speak to Gordon's driver.
The inspector's on the platform. He wants to see you.
The driver climbed down from the cab and walked over. He came back a few minutes, looking excited.
What's happened? Said his fireman.
The engine for the express turned over when it was coming out of the yard. Nothing else can come in or out. They want us to take the train to London. I said we would if Sir Topham Hatt agrees. They telephoned and he said we could do it. How's that?
Gordon smiled. We'll show them what the Fat Controller's engines can do. Come on, he whistled. Let's go.
He rolled quickly over the crossing and backed onto the train. It was only a few minutes before the guard blew his whistle, but Gordon thought it was ages.
Come on, come on, he puffed to the coaches. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
We're going to town, we're going to town, sung the coaches. Slowly at first, then faster and faster. Gordon found that London was a long way away.
Never mind, he said. I like a good long run to stretch my wheels.
But all the same, he was glad when London came in sight. The Fat Controller came into his office the next morning. He looked at the letters on his desk. One had a London postmark.
"I wonder how Gordon's getting on," he said.
The station master knocked and came in. He looked excited.
Excuse me, sir. Have you seen the news?
Not yet. Why?
Just look at this, sir.
The Fat Controller took the newspaper.
Good gracious me, he said. There's Gordon. Headlines too. Famous engine at London station. Police called to control crowds.
The Fat Controller read on, absorbed. Gordon returned the next day. The Fat Controller spoke to his driver and fireman.
I see you had a good welcome in London.
We certainly did. We signed autographs till our arms ached.
And Gordon had his photograph taken from many different directions that he didn't know where to look.
Good, smiled the Fat Controller. I expect you enjoyed yourself, didn't you, Gordon?
No, sir, I didn't.
Why ever not?
London is all wrong, answered Gordon sadly. They've changed it. It isn't King's Cross anymore. It's St. Pancras.
The Fat Controller gave Gordon a rest when he came back from London. He told James to do his work. James got very conceited about it.
You know, little Toby, he said, I'm an important engine. Everybody knows it. They come in crowds to see me flash by. The heaviest train makes no difference. I'm as regular as clockwork. They all set their watches by me. Never late, always on time. That's me.
Says you, replied Toby cheekily. Toby was out on the main line. The Fat Controller sent him to the works. His parts were worn. They clanked as he trundled along. He was a little engine, and his tanks didn't hold much water, so he often had to stop to take a drink. He had small wheels too, and couldn't go too fast. Never mind, he thought. The signalmen all know me. They'll give me plenty of time. Toby had wanted to take Henrietta with him, but the Fat Controller said no. Percy had promised to look after her, but Toby couldn't help worrying. Percy doesn't understand her like I do, he said. Toby had a long way to go. He saw a distant signal. Good, he thought. Now I can get a nice drink and rest on the siding till James goes by. Toby's driver thought so too. They stopped by the water crane. The fireman jumped out and put the hose in Toby's tank. Toby was enjoying his drink when a signalman came over. Toby had never seen him before.
No time for that, said the signalman. We must clear the road for the express.
Right, said Toby's driver. We'll wait in the siding.
No good, said the signalman. It's full of trucks. You'll have to hurry to the next station. They'll have plenty of room there.
Poor Toby clacked sadly away.
I must hurry, he panted.
But hurrying used a lot of water, and his tanks were soon empty. They damped down his fire and struggled on, but they soon ran out of steam and soon marooned on the main line, far away from the next station. The fireman walked back down. He put detonators on the line to warn James and his driver. Then he hurried along the sleepers. I'll tell that signalman something, he said grimly. James was fumed when Toby's fireman arrived and explained what had happened.
It's my fault, said the signalman. I didn't understand about Toby. Now, James, said his driver, you'll have to push him.
What, me? Me? Snorted James. Push Toby and pull my train?
Yes, you. Shan't. The driver, the fireman, the passengers, and the guard all said he was a bad engine. All right, grumbled James. He came up behind Toby and gave him a bump. Get on, you, he said crossly. James's driver made him push Toby all the way to the works. It'll serve you right for being rude, he said. James had to work very hard, and when he reached the works station, he felt exhausted. Some little boys ran along the platform.
Cool, said one. The express is late. A double header, too. Do you know what I think? I think, he went on, that James couldn't pull the train, so Toby had to help him.
Never mind, James, whispered Toby. They're only joking.
Ha ha, said James.
Toby just smiled. One evening, Thomas brought his last train to the junction. He went to have a drink.
I'm going to the big station, he said to Percy and Toby.
So are we, they answered.
Do you know, Percy went on, I think something's up.
Toby looked at the sky.
Where?
Down here, silly, said Thomas.
How, asked Toby reasonably, can something be up when it's down?
Look, said Thomas excitedly. Look!
Several engines from the other railway were coming along the line.
Hello, Jinty, whistled Percy. Hello, Pug. They're friends of mine, he explained. I don't know who the others are.
What's all this? Asked Thomas.
The fat controller's got a plan, answered the driver. And he's going to tell us. Come on.
They followed to the big station at the end of the line, where all the engines had gone.
The fat controller was waiting there.
The people of England, he said, read about us in the books, but they don't think that we're real.
Shame, squeaked Percy.
The fat controller glared. Percy subsided.
So, he continued, I'm taking my engines to England to show them.
Hooray, hooray, the engines whistled.
The fat controller held his ears.
Silence!
He bellowed.
We start the day after tomorrow at 8 a.m. Meanwhile, these engines have kindly come from the other railway to take your place. You will show them your work.
As Annie and Clarabel were coming to England too, Thomas and Jinty practiced with some other coaches. Thomas was excited. He began bragging about his race with Bertie the bus.
I whooshed through the tunnel and stopped an inch from the buffers, like this.
Then Thomas made his mistake. No one was hurt, but Thomas's front was badly bent. They telephoned the fat controller.
I'll send some men, he said. But if they can't mend Thomas in time, we'll go to England without him.
Next morning, the engines were waiting at the junction. Toby and Percy were each on a truck, and Duck had pushed them into place behind Edward. Henrietta stood on the siding. The fat controller had called her a curiosity.
I wouldn't dream of leaving you behind, he said. I'll fit you up as my private coach.
She felt grand. Gordon, James, and Henry were in front. They whistled impatiently. The fat controller paced the platform and looked at his watch.
1 minute more, he said, turning to the guard.
Suddenly, a little blue engine came rushing into the station with Annie and Clarabel.
Thomas, said the Fat Controller sternly, I am most displeased with you. You nearly upset my arrangements.
Thomas, abashed, arranged himself and the coaches behind Duck, without saying a word. The Fat Controller climbed into Henrietta. The guard blew his whistle and waved his flag. The engines whistled. Look out, London! Here we come! And the cavalcade puffed off. The engines stood side by side in the big airy shed. Hundreds of people came to see them, and climbed in and out of their cabs every day. They liked it at first, but presently felt very bored, and were glad when it was time to go. The people along their line put their flags out and cheered them home. We're glad to see you, they said. Those others did their best, but they didn't know our ways. Nothing anywhere can compare with the Fat Controller's engines.